Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Conscious Vibe Podcast,
where we elevate intellect through conscious dialogue
while exploring race, politics, business, and culture.
I'm Dr. Daryl L. Jones.
And I'm Charles D. Mitchell. Welcome to the Conscious Vibe. DJ, you going to Dallas tomorrow?
I am.
Yeah? You excited?
No.
Oh. Yeah, no. I can see that you're not excited.
You know what? I'll be happy when I get there. I don't like traveling.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I definitely get it.
But I'm looking forward to the experience, Charles. Yeah. I'm joking.
You have a great time. Look forward to hearing about it. Miss Marisha.
Charles.
How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
Doing well. Marisha Dixon, the Zentertainer.
Whoa, you did homework.
Trying to do a little bit of homework, you know, just to make, you know, keep people honest, you know. Looking forward to talking with you. Want to learn a lot about what you're doing these days. I know you are a entrepreneur, doing consulting work. I've read a lot about some of the things. I've read an article you were being interviewed for, and of course learned some things post our conversation that I didn't know about. The fact that you were an athlete. Tell us about your upbringing. Where'd you grow up? Family dynamics?
Yeah, I was going to say, where do you want me to start? Because that question always makes me. You start wherever you want to start.
I want to hear about the athlete piece at some point, so weave that in as you see fit. Yeah.
Okay. I am from originally California, Central Valley, Cowtown, Fresno, California.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I didn't know they called Fresno Cowtown.
Yeah, it's a cow, ag town. Originally, or at least when I was growing up.
Sure.
grew up an athlete, as was mentioned. Basketball was my first love. Point guard, shooting guard sometimes. If I had to play three just because I had hops, then I would do that too. But
did
it
she
wasn't.
Say she had hops?
Yeah,
she did.
I did say that. I played basketball. I know the terminology. but yeah, I had a ball in my hand since I could walk. Thank you, Daddy. He was a Lakers fan. I also ran track.
Dad's a good man.
My dad is a wonderful man. Yep.
What did you run? You were a sprinter?
I was a sprinter. I ran the 2 and the 4. Those were my two. And then I did the 2 relays, 4x1, 4x4. But you know how sometimes you get thrown into races when you need to get extra points for the team. So sometimes they would throw me in the 1. Sometimes they would throw me in the 8. I absolutely hated the 1. I would prefer the 8 any day over the 100.
I've never heard anybody say that.
100%. What? Yes. Because early on, I did also run cross country.
Oh, okay.
So I had enough endurance for the 8, but I had
catching people from behind.
Yes, yeah. I wanted you to be my rabbit.
Yeah.
So go ahead. You lead the way. You know.
See me struggling on that last 200.
Man,
and
here
that's
I come.
Where I got my power. Yeah, kicked it in at that point. So I did track. I also did volleyball, which was another one of my favorites. But more for fun. I was not going anywhere with that. It was just fun.
How tall are you?
5'4¾".
So were you a libero or were you what?
I it was like elementary school and middle school.
Lord.
Not
okay.
Like literally
okay.
Not. I don't
know. So you're all over the place.
Yeah, just playing.
So what was the college sport?
College sport was track, actually. Mm-hmm. So I ran track in college.
Fresno?
No, I went to UC Davis.
Okay.
Go Aggs. Yep.
So. Davis campus, I'm assuming?
What was that?
Yeah, obviously.
Davis?
Yeah, UC Davis.
There's a UC Sacramento that's a part of the Davis campus.
Oh, right,
and the only
yeah.
reason I mentioned that yep. is because, well, I've been, well, anyway. Anyway.
But nope, Davis is
I digress.
In Davis. yeah, studied sociology with an emphasis in social services, double minored Spanish psychology, and then was recruited to do Teach for America. So I was...
So wait, though, mom, dad, siblings?
Parents, yes. Well, I was going to get to that, I guess, at some point. Mom, dad, brother and sister, my best friends, they're twins.
Younger or older? Twins.
They're 3.5 years younger than me.
Okay, yep. Oldest.
So I am the firstborn and a Sagittarius, so I was...
Oh, no. No.
I don't even know what that means.
When's your birthday?
No idea what that means. The your greatest day December? Ever.
What's that?
Walt Disney's birthday.
I don't know.
December 5th. I know you don't. I was going to tell you.
I don't know Walt Disney's birthday.
So are you fire and ice?
I'm the most wonderful, magical thing in the world. Disney, right?
Lord have mercy. Okay.
I love it.
So, yes, my brother and sister, they were my guinea pigs. They were my first students. That's how I learned how to be a teacher. And that is who I am and what I do.
So what do they do now?
What do they do?
Yeah. I want to see how successful you are as a teacher.
My brother works in tech. My sister is a nurse. So oh,
good job. Yes. Good job. Good
yes,
job.
Yes, yes. They're my favorite people. Yes. All right. Did Teach for America. Fast forwarding. I did my core experience in Atlanta. So very different from Fresno to Davis. Mm.
What school system did you teach in down there?
APS, Atlanta Public Schools.
Okay. Oh, what part of the city were you teaching in?
Oh, Bankhead. TIGZ, yep. You know, that all the rappers that talk about Atlanta, like where they
East
where
Atlanta?
Southwest.
Southwest.
Atlanta, I did 3 years of elementary in College Park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my elementary school doesn't exist anymore, but yeah, I can relate.
My school that I taught at doesn't exist anymore. Yeah, so that was...
That's another conversation.
Yeah, it's a bittersweet experience. Yeah. My kids grew me up, right? They helped me to see myself in a new way and really wake up to more of who I was. Obviously, that's a never-ending journey, but I've always enjoyed learning from young people.
Mm-hmm.
They see the world in a way that they're not jaded yet, right? They have hope, and they, you know, see the wonder in like the regular mundane things, and just they just give you these different reminders of life that you kind of forget along the way, and I just like being around that energy. So I probably learned a lot about myself and more about myself and the world around me through being a teacher. So yeah, but that was also the what I call my crumbling walls moment, or my mid-20s life crisis. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
33 moments that derailed my happily ever after.
Yes. So that was that phase of life. So I was in that cohort where, you know, a year or two after you graduate college, you're, you know, when you checked all the check boxes and you get the degrees and you make all the right choices and you're supposed to now have opportunity for upward mobility and the world is your oyster, you know, those things that we have. Well, the economy crashed. So maybe 6-7 months after I bought my condo, I was in the second year of my master's program, everything.
So what timing are we talking now?
2008.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
2008, 2009. And yeah, I think my expectation of what life was supposed to be, it, like I said, it came crumbling down, and not only was the world around me crashing, but who I was, my identity of, you know, what I was told I was going to be, what I thought I was, mm-hmm. you know, what I was preparing for, all of those things were, they didn't exist anymore. And I did not have the tools to navigate that experience. So emotionally, mentally, spiritually, financially, literally in every aspect of my life, it was chaos. and that had a lot of health implications. I share, obviously, in my book, and there's a video that incorporates interpretive dance that's on my website that kind of tells that story. And one of the biggest stories, Bloody Mary, as I call it, that really kind of changed the trajectory of my life. I was at that point, I had really irregular cycles, 2 days off, 13 days on, 5 days, like it was just out of control. And I sat in that for a really long time, one, because I was both embarrassed, but also like, am I dying? Like, you know, like knowing officially the answer to that was kind of like, it prevented me from talking about it to anyone, and also, you know, going to the doctors. But at one point, I just decided I can't. The pain and just the fatigue, everything was just too much and unbearable. So I, tried going to the doctors. They're doing tests. They're putting me on birth control and different things to try to regulate hormones and figure out what was going on. But there were really no answers, essentially. Told me to take some time off of work. I was still teaching at the time. And within 2 or 3 days, I'm feeling back to myself. A week goes by, you know, nothing. The next week, nothing. And I'm feeling, you know, just more like myself. And so I called my principal, the doctors, hey, I'm ready to go back. You know, I play basketball. I didn't sit the bench. So I wanted to get back, you know, to life.
Coach put me back in.
Right. Like, I wanted to play. I wanted to, you know, like I can't sit still. And I knew my kids needed me, but I also needed them, you know? So I thought, and the night before I was scheduled to go back, my cycle again, and everything, panic attacks, like just,
oh my God.
So we realized that was ultimately the culprit, just the toxic environment, yep, of teaching, you know, in, like we said, Southwest Atlanta. Mm-hmm. At that time, I think Georgia was 48th in the nation in terms of the quality of education. Mm-hmm. I think it was Louisiana and Mississippi that were behind, or like
Arizona was right in front of you.
And Alabama wasn't far behind. Yeah.
Right. You know, so I kind of had to decide what do I do now? Still hadn't really talked to loved ones, you know, so I was doing all of this thing, adulting on my own, literally, and it sucks that we kind of, how we define what adulting is, and you know, you're mature now, like decisions you push through, essentially, regardless of what's going on, you know, you've got more boxes to check off at this point, you have obligations, but how far do I go if I'm jeopardizing my well-being? And so ultimately I had to make the decision that I don't know what I'm going to do, but I can't do this. And I, you know, like I said, the economy eventually also crashed. So I'm in my master's program, standing in the unemployment line, just crazy experience and trying to figure out, well, what do I do? I just bought my home. What do I do? I don't really know. And my strategy at that point was just ignore it. It'll go away at some point. It'll go away. It'll figure itself out. But it didn't. And my health just continued to decline. And at that point, I didn't really have trust in the medical system, obviously. So I started looking for natural remedies to heal what I didn't know at the time and wasn't, you know, diagnosed with depression, but the symptoms, we didn't have these conversations, mm-hmm, at 2008, sure, right? There wasn't social media, you know, or other avenues where this was a discussion. It was very taboo. And still there's a lot of work to be done about, mm-hmm, you know, having these conversations regularly, but they didn't exist then. But from what I could tell about, you know, certain things that I was experiencing, these were anxiety, depression, just extreme trauma, essentially, stress. You know, I'm in that stress state for so long, it's wearing on my body, and this is how it's manifesting, you know. I couldn't have coherent conversations. I forgot things all the time.
So how long did this go on at its peak?
I would say probably like 3 years.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's significant.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a passing moment. Mm-mm. That's, yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah. And all the while, now my home is up for foreclosure. When I was told that, you know, just continue paying until you can't pay anymore, and then we'll have, you know, different governmental programs kind of step in and support you. And the moment I defaulted on a payment, calls, where's our payment? What are we? And eventually the foreclosure notice comes and I'm like, wait, you said you were gonna help me. What's happening? So now when we look at Maslow's hierarchy, right? Like my home, mm-hmm. safety, protection, like that is now also. So not only is it my mind, my body, but also now my home, like my yep. home, mm-hmm. shelter.
True.
Right? So all of these things are just, like I said, crumbling walls, everything around and within me are just, I have backs against the wall. I have no idea. And I still say nothing. But I look for natural remedies to at least start with mind body. I can't fix the house situation. They're going to call. They'll come and get it when they get. Like, I was kind of at that point with that. But everyone else was also kind of going through that. Like, the economy had crashed, right? So everybody was kind of experiencing that. So I felt a little reprieve with that part of my situation. But I needed to do something about mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. And that's how I found meditation. Every article came up, meditation, meditation, meditation. I had no idea what it was. Never heard of it before. I didn't really even understand it after, you know, reading, but the benefits. I was like, ooh, I need a little bit of that. I need some of that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to make the connection how sitting in a dark room, you know, and Lotus Pose is going to help me change my life. But that's what you're saying? I'll do anything. And so I started practicing in 2009 at the Georgia Center for Meditation every Wednesday at 7 p.m., and it was, you know, that one day a week, 1 hour a week, was honestly, it's kind of like, you know, people, 5 o'clock on a Friday, right? They're excited, they get the 2 days off, they're free, right? That's what Wednesday at 7 p.m. was for me. It's my moment of freedom. Everything else is still going on. But I'm practicing, because that's what it is, right? I'm learning how to just let it go, just be, right? And still didn't, you know, like I said, I leave an hour later. The world is still what it was. Nothing changed. But what I was learning how to do, which goes back to basketball, I'm not sure how I made this connection, but in over time and in going to practice, I remembered, this is why I said I love my dad and I see your sticker. Oh my God, this is crazy. This is so crazy. When I first learned how to play, I grew up in the era Michael Jordan, of course.
Why you say it like that?
No, I just...
So begrudging.
No.
He's only the greatest player of all time.
You have Michael Jordan. Second you have Scottie Pippen. You have...
I thought we were going to get that. I'm having to argue about it.
Okay.
Wait,
We had a moment.
We don't want to derail you as long as you promise we can come back to that.
We're coming back.
I thought he and I had a moment just then.
Okay.
I thought we had a moment.
Kareem?
I'm up there. Kareem, MJ.
I thought we had a moment.
Okay. Oh, so you're Kareem.
He thinks
sure.
He looks like Kareem.
Oh.
That's funny. Somebody stop us. Don't you even
Representation
lie.
Representation matters. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't somebody stop us?
Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time. So we can just stop right there.
Okay.
So you can continue.
Your thought? Who's yours?
So I loved different AI was like... That was the era for me.
Okay.
Like the fancy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to do that when I started playing.
So I'll put him in your most admired. Mm-hmm. Would you think he was the greatest basketball player of all time?
How important do you think winning is?
Well, hold on, hold on. I can't let her escape that. I can't let her escape that greatest.
I'm not letting
of all
her
time.
Escape.
Okay.
This is the Socratic method here.
Who is the greatest basketball player of all time?
Of all time. They all so
let's
I'm
go
70s I'm torn
forward.
Between LeBron and Michael.
I thought we finished this
Jordan.
Early. I thought we you
I'm
did
sorry.
That.
LeBron and Jordan.
Who?
I can't pick.
Who?
I'm sorry. King
you
say, James.
Did you say LeBron?
I
bad boy, Charles.
I'm sorry.
Bad boy.
I'm a Laker fan. I love LeBron. I really do.
I didn't have
I appreciate imagine. Him beyond the game of basketball. I think he does a lot of good in the world.
Yeah, and I think so. That's I
we're
think
talking
that
about lacing him up. we're talking about lacing him up.
MJ,
we're talking about walking on the court and ripping.
But he can play any position,
heart
though.
Out.
He can play any position.
He's not gonna rip your heart out.
Who? Who's not?
He's saying LeBron's not.
Oh come on!
I mean, he's sitting at home right now.
So is Michael Jordan, if you. I mean.
Well, yeah, because he's 60.
But he wasn't 60 with the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, he was close to it.
He wasn't.
He was close to 60 Man, when he played stop. For the Washington Wizards.
We forget about the Washington
Wizards. I don't
even
think Wizards he played for the Washington Wizards. That wasn't even him out there.
That was.
That was like this
hologram.
Sick, that was like this sick. Sort of demented, you know, science project in a doggone, I don't know, crazy like duplication center somewhere where they just sort of like cloned him. I think that's what that was.
I think LeBron is probably from a physical specimen standpoint, mm-hmm. and it's not to detract from his hard work. I think that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
We've never seen anything like
oh,
that.
Oh,
like
no, mm-hmm. I've never seen anything like that. The man, the size of that man and what he can do.
Just not
move.
Even the size, the versatility.
Yeah.
I value that. That's important
yeah.
to me.
But what I value is?
What?
Winning.
Oh, God. He wins in other ways. And I think that that's what's beautiful about the platform of basketball. Like, yes, he has that opportunity, which is more of a selfish opportunity, but he extends his platform to highlight his school. Like, we can't, you know, like these
that has
are
nothing to do with basketball.
It does. It
that has
does.
Nothing to do with basketball.
It absolutely does
no,
because
that
was
to
his.
Do with being the,
that
you
was
stop it.
No,
that has nothing to do with yeah, being the GOAT. That has nothing to do with being the greatest of all time. He's the greatest contributor, perhaps, of all time to the game in terms of the way he's helped expand the game and the influence and what it does
that's the game.
For kids all
that's
over the world.
That's part of the game.
I'm talking about when you lace them up.
Well, I still say I'm
a
still stand.
I'm a purist.
I still stand.
Lace them up.
On my, he's
him
versatile,
up.
And I
lace
value
him
that.
Up, shoot
he
the
can
ball,
go any position.
Put it in the hoop.
So it sounds like if you were starting a team from scratch. LeBron's your first pick.
Why are we still talking about this?
Right? Yeah, and MJ is your first pick.
Wait, where did Kareem? Who said Kareem?
I did.
Oh, that was you. Okay.
We forget what that man did at every level of the game. High school, college, pro. It's easy to forget both sides of the court what Kareem did with that ball.
He's shrugging his shoulders right now.
Yeah, no, I appreciate everything he's saying.
He appreciates everything, it seems like anyone's saying.
I don't agree with him. I don't agree
like
with him. I don't agree with him, but I appreciate what he's saying.
You don't agree that Kareem's impact on the game was as significant then as MJ's and LeBron's were in their era?
Right.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
No, but
so
do you believe that, though?
Yeah, I have no argument
okay,
for
so
that.
That's all I'm saying.
I have no argument for that at all.
That's why it's
so
hard
we're
to
just,
pick one.
We're just measuring from different – we have different reference
yeah.
points.
It's a generational
– Yeah.
Sport. It,
well,
it really
yeah,
is.
That too.
Yeah,
yes.
It really is.
Because you – I mean, you didn't really say anything when I said AI. Like,
no, I mean, I appreciate AI for, you know, the basketball player.
Here we go.
Like, he's amazing. I know. I'm a fan of the game. I'm like, nobody loves basketball more than me. I'm a huge fan of the game. And I feel like I'm a historian, too. And
do you,
I look
do you
at
play
it from,
or do you just, you're one of the observers?
Oh, my God.
I don't know. We're getting acquainted right now.
Okay, I'm not even going to drink this because I'm going to spit it.
We got in the show.
Wait.
We got in the show.
I need to understand what this means.
Did you ask me? Is there a ball anywhere?
I have one in my car. I have one in my car.
Go get it.
Do I get
it? No, no, no. We'll do this after the show.
What are you going to do, though?
We're going to go to the village.
just like you and I did. We're going to go to the village or my house, backyard. Doesn't matter. I got a hoop too. Oh my God, that was like the.
So listen,
I think that might be the ultimate like.
It was a question.
Thank
you.
That was not a question.
Wait, how was that not?
I wouldn't be offended if she asked me.
There are some people who love basketball, but they just they're observers.
I wouldn't be offended if she asked me.
They're fans.
We're 1-1.
I got called an observer,
by the way.
Ah,
an observer.
A fan. Okay, maybe a fan is a better word. Is that
better? You are a fan.
Is that
I'm absolutely a fan of the game.
Okay.
You're not a fanboy, but I mean, you're not a fanboy.
Right. I'm a fan of the game.
Right. Yeah. From the perspective of an observer or player. That's all.
Well, you know what? Because he's obviously, he's blown his hair back. But,
and I don't have any hair.
I was as surprised as you probably are right now. Charles can shoot.
Oh, okay.
At this point, we're not,
tip
dunking and all that, right?
Oh.
But no. Charles can shoot the rock.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I was the point guard. Okay. But
I do play D. Yeah.
You might can shoot.
But.
Defense wins games.
You know what?
And you're a winner.
This is a challenge.
You're a winner.
This is a challenge. So listen.
Can we go back to the story? Like, the crumbling walls and the Thursday morning.
Lifetime Biltmore has a beautiful court. What part of the city you live in?
Downtown Phoenix.
That's a 12-minute drive for you, right? You can walk. So we're going to make that happen. You're close to Biltmore. Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to make that happen. We can't just end it here. Yeah.
We're going to make that happen. Absolutely. Hands down.
Okay. This is going to be great.
Yeah. And we put money on this, too.
You sound real confident about
this. We put money on it, too. Money.
And I'm not a hooper, but I don't like to lose. I hate to lose.
Wait, you're playing also? Or what's happening?
Oh, I hate to lose.
Wait, how is this set
no,
up?
You guys are going to do a one-on-one. I'm a horse guy at this point.
Oh, okay.
No, we're not playing.
We're going back to the basics.
We're not playing one-on-one.
See, these facial expressions are about to get
you in trouble. We're not playing one-on-one. Seriously. I know. Like,
why? Because you don't
want to. Because I want her to. I want us to have a relationship and be friends afterwards.
Oh, my God. So you really think you can beat her?
Oh!
What are you starting
to interpret what you're saying?
No, I will say this. I wasn't the player that talked trap.
Well, what happened?
I just played the game. No.
You talking?
No, I'm not. I'm literally asking questions. I'm just asking questions.
She's too small, first of all.
She's too small?
Yeah.
What is that? High school girls. I drove to the basket.
You know what? Let's do this.
How about
this?
I would drive to my speed.
No, you're too small.
No.
So in today's game, we're all watching the NBA playoffs now, right? Who's your game like?
I'm not, actually. I'm not. Okay. I know.
So who's your game like in modern day hoops?
I don't know.
CJ, like PJ Tucker? Are you more like a...
PJ Tucker?
Are you?
I'm trying to figure...
Well, she's not going to be 7 feet tall. I mean, come on. I'm
not either.
Right. So that's why it's a good example, right? So I'm saying, like, who was your game model? Am I hearing Kyrie? Like, what am I hearing?
I'm hearing Spud Webb.
Wow.
What? Muggsy Bogues. Who could I think of?
I did like Muggsy Bogues. Charlotte or Muggsy Bogues.
But you can't. You weren't. That wasn't your model. That's not who.
No.
Okay, so who was your
game?
But
it was. It was because he was short. Like I liked him, and I liked Derek Fisher. Same thing. Because I mean, these are.
Where'd that come from?
What?
Rip was nice back in the day.
Rip was super nice. Yeah, I'm just saying. Rip was. He wasn't a point.
Richard Hamm.
He wasn't a point guard though.
She hasn't said yes to anything, so I'm trying to figure out where are we here.
Let me think about that. I mean,
she got to figure out who the players are.
I mean. Just set the date and time. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll just go back to this and then we'll figure out the rest later.
Yeah, we just got to figure out how many points she scores. That's what we got to figure out.
We'll just play. It's all about today, though. I don't know what you used to do. You don't know what I used to do. Exactly. So it's all about today. It's all about today.
Doesn't matter.
Oof.
It's all about today.
This is going to be real interesting.
You need to get ready. That's all I got
to
say.
So Charles anyway, is trying to see there's going to be 34 moments now.
What is that?
Derail you. So let's fast forward a little bit to today. What do you get excited about today? What are you working on today? What does life look like for you today?
Mm-hmm. So I'll answer that question by finishing what I was saying, because I think it actually does segue into that. So it was about making the connection between the practice, right? Like, what am I doing? Because I enjoy coming here, being in community, and taking a moment for myself. But again, life is also still what it is. So I needed to understand, like, what's the connection? How is this actually benefiting me? And what's beautiful about the practice of meditation and being in surrender and silence and solitude is that it gives you that moment to pause and find peace again, find what it means to be in harmony, or what athletes call being in the zone, right? What creative folks call the flow, right? What some of us in the wellness or healing spaces call alignment. So we all have this language that we use, but we're saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, going through that practice led me back to moments where I felt like that. Being on the basketball court, and specifically when I first started to learn how to play the game, we would do these drills, hated them. Half the team's on, let's say, at the half court line, and the other half is, you know, standing across from them at the top of the key. And we're learning bounce pass, chest pass, but the person who's receiving the ball is learning the triple threat position. And what would happen, you know, so you get in your triple threat position after your teammate passes, and the coaches would come by and kind of try to heckle you on purpose, and you're practicing pivoting, right? You're practicing staying in that triple threat position because it's teaching you to pause, to find, get back in the zone, to find that place of harmony, peace, right? So that you can make the next best step. You're not trying to win the game in that moment. You're trying to make the next best step to navigate around your opponents in that moment. And, well, we know that there are multiple options. That's why it's called the triple threat position. What are some of those options, Mr. Basketball player?
Dribble, pass, or shoot.
Dribble, pass, shoot.
So are you convinced now that he... did that help?
I see that.
So how did that make you feel?
I'm into her conversation. I want to talk about this meditation stuff. I have questions.
Yes.
No, but that your response was like, whoa, wow.
Oh, he's serious.
I'm like shaking up a little bit.
Yes, I know. I think that's what he's trying to do, right? You were trying to do that.
I just wanted to make sure you understood that I was invested in what you were saying. That's all.
You're impressed.
Trying to stay focused.
You're low-key impressed.
That's all.
All right, so we got the triple threat position. You got options to get around your opponent, right? And so the more I kept practicing, for some reason I kept getting flashbacks of this drill that I used to do when I was little. And I'm like, what? This isn't, I don't get it. But that was the connection. We're doing this practice to take that moment to pause, find peace, right? Return back to harmony, homeostasis, right? So that despite what's going on external to us, we're anchored in a space that allows us to consciously decide what's the next best step instead of feeling forced or stuck about what's going on outside of us, right? And once I made that connection, it was like, oh, okay, I get it now. And yes, I do want to continue because I knew how I played the game when I practiced those fundamentals, right? But then eventually, you notice like the collegiate level and obviously the professional level, you don't really see them like actually drop, but you can tell they're doing enough to protect their valuable. They're doing enough to keep that space between their valuable and the opponent. And so that's kind of how I started to look at moments in life, those unpredictable moments, those moments that would derail, shake shit up, you know, like, oh, this is an opportunity to just pause, nope, you're not going to disturb my peace. We're going to do the triple threat. We're going to go to that place that allows me to deliberately choose what my next best step mm-hmm. needs to be. And so I think that, to answer your question, that's what I'm excited about now is really, I'm a teacher. I love sports. I love personal wellness, what that means, what that looks like. And I'm interested in exploring, you know, how do I evolve as an educator to really bring this type of awareness, these conversations, experiences that allow us the opportunity to immerse ourselves in what these practices actually mean? Because mm-hmm. we talk about it and everyone says, oh, do the breath work, just breathe when you're, but they're not making the connection. Like, mm-hmm. why? How is that even helpful? And so I want to be, you know, able to create those immersive learning journeys and experiences that allow us to actually feel and know for ourselves what it means to practice the practices that would allow us to thrive.
Let me ask you about that because, you know, I know when I first got introduced to meditation, mm-hmm. It was actually on a retreat in India, and it was the... Which sounds like the version that you're sharing, which is the silent meditation with yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? And again, it's just a practice and you're with yourself and with your own thoughts,
mm-hmm.
And then trying to come to some sort of I don't know if revelation is a part of that. It sounds like that was part of it for you. Do you believe, or in your practice, do you find you get more out of that style of meditation where it's just silent meditation with yourself and your thoughts? Or do you feel like guided meditation can be useful to help get you into that particular state as well?
I think what's important to highlight is that you need to know yourself and where you are in any given moment, because then you're going to be able to pull from your toolkit and apply what works for you in that moment. Sometimes I do need silence and I do need to be still and I do need to be in solitude away from other people. Other times I could play basketball and it gets me in the same zone, mm-hmm. right? Other times it might be music, you know, going for a drive, literally just to drive and turn the music up and not like, you know, so I'm still exercising those same muscles. I'm getting in that place and allowing everything else to kind of fall away. But also with the intention that maybe there's a certain energy that I want to shake off. Maybe I'm feeling stagnant in life or whatever. Other moments, maybe I'm conjuring a different energy. I want to have more focus and creativity. And so I'm able to use the practice in whatever way I need to. You learn to kind of, one of my favorite quotes is from Bruce Lee. He says, be the researcher of your own experience. Adopt what is useful, discard what is useless, and make specifically what is your own. Hmm.
You used the right term, though, I think. You said intention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has a lot to do mm-hmm. with however you decide to take that in, whether mm-hmm. it is on that drive, or it's sitting in a room by yourself mm-hmm. for 45 minutes, or listening to a guided meditation on Headspace for Correct. 10 minutes, whatever yeah. that may be, right?
Yep.
Can I ask you a question about sport?
Yeah.
I think as... all of us grew up athletes.
Wait, what did you play?
Football and track.
Okay. Oh, you did say track earlier. Okay. And what events?
I think she's kind of questioning whether you were an athlete.
No, she definitely wasn't doing that.
100. Is she trying to instigate?
Yeah, she definitely.
You're trying to
You saw
instigate.
The look on her face, but she, there wasn't no surprise on her face. When she,
oh, my goodness.
100 and 200.
Okay, cool.
They tried to make me a 400, and I wasn't having that. So we draw upon the positive aspects of sports often.
Mm-hmm. As
we learn this from sport and that attributed to
mm-hmm.
When we start to understand more about mental health
mm-hmm.
and ignoring things
mm-hmm.
and the detriment of ignoring things.
Yeah.
As a point guard, as a captain of a football team, we were never asked, you know, let's just check in on your mental health today.
Yeah.
Right? You fight through injury.
Yeah.
You bear the brunt of everybody's mistakes. Have you taken time to think about some of the aspects of being an elite athlete, which if you're playing in college, you're an elite athlete, mm-hmm. right, D1. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that maybe had to be unlearned being an athlete mm-hmm. when it comes to life beyond athletics.
Absolutely, the accolades.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah. That doesn't matter. Also, why winning doesn't matter. Because that part of that is the accolades that comes with mm-hmm. that. The ego that comes with that, right? And so when we're doing this work of shedding old selves and becoming who we truly, the accolades don't matter. Not everyone's going to notice that growth, that evolution mm-hmm. that's happening within you. But we're conditioned to showcase.
I agree 100% right? with that.
Because the past doesn't matter. Yeah. Whatever we did yesterday doesn't matter.
Right. Well, being outwardly and publicly praised for it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Right? And you have to find that internal mm-hmm. peace. I think that's huge what you're talking about, though. And I think
so
we need to talk more about
it's
that,
so
though.
Big. Mm-hmm.
Because we do get accustomed to the accolade.
Mm-hmm. When it turns off,
yeah,
people are not equipped for it.
Absolutely. Yep. The minute you walk down the street or you walk into school or you walk in the room, it's like...
And you're just you. No one knows your credentials.
Absolutely.
No one knows what you did before, the you know, impact that you've made or whatever. You're just...
Some people are legitimately surprised
mm-hmm.
to find out that somebody was an athlete. I mean, this stuff, you know, this kid, which I stood on this. Look, Charles can shoot that ball. I'm going to come back to that. You know who he reminds me of?
Is this to scare me also?
No. You know what? I'm going to leave
see
it
that?
Out. She danced on you.
I know, right?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
On
what
him.
Is the hokey pokey? What is
kidding me?
Like a little elf.
I know,
like,
right?
Oh, my
she's
gosh.
Getting worse. She's getting worse by the second.
I'm trying not to say anything. You guys keep
I'm
bringing
done.
It up.
I'm so finished with all that. That is like crazy. But no, honestly, I think that's really important to pull every aspect of our athletic journey into life now, right?
Yeah.
Because we're accustomed to pulling from being the team captain and all the good stuff, and hey, as an athlete, but there was also a lot that happened in sport that we could probably reflect on and think about life beyond sport and think,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think more good than bad, obviously, because mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to change any aspect of my athletic journey.
Right, same.
But yeah, I'm glad you were very transparent about that.
So let's talk about your work that you're doing right now. Cause I know it's really rooted in education, helping people, helping students, getting people to be their best selves. Let's talk about that.
So I am... I think one of the things about being an educator is, you know, we have to model what we want our students to know how to do, right? And so I think when I talk about this work related to personal well-being and utilizing multimedia, different other subject matter experts, really kind of collaborating on bringing that learning environment to life where it's not me just depositing, but it is an opportunity for us to kind of co-create what that environment is like and really kind of from a visceral place understand what we're talking about so that like practice where we were doing those drills, when you go into life, when it's game time, you actually know how to apply mm-hmm. it for yourself. And which means then that there are going to be those moments where it's uncomfortable and dark because changing how we react to stressful life events by implementing some of these tools and practices that we're talking about, unlearning is equally challenging as learning something mm-hmm. for the first
sure.
time, right? And so... helping people to go through the dark and the challenging and the hard and the stretching and the discomfort of both unlearning old habits while simultaneously, you know, learning, acquiring, being equipped with new tools and practices. And so one of the frameworks that I have been working my students and clients through is, I do call it returning home to harmony. It is a five-step mindfulness approach, which, again, a lot of once I started to understand what mindfulness and meditation meant for me, going back to that Bruce Lee quote, right? I'm pulling from different philosophies and approaches, but I'm also crafting what works for me. Because I believe my role as a teacher is, there's kind of two. There's the guide and then there's the instructor, right? So the instructor, you kind of deposit information. Here's what you, the guide is just, we're just trying to expose you to as many things as possible because different things are going to work for different people. And it's kind of like when you travel, you know, and you go on those tours, the guide is pointing out certain highlights, but it doesn't mean that you can't find things along the way yourself, mm-hmm. you know? And so really encouraging that, like, you're contributing to your learning and your growth just as much as I am, right? And the space is that I'm creating for us to do that work. So returning home to harmony is a five-step process that essentially is allowing us to create, again, similar triple threat, create space between the circumstance, the life event, the person that's disrupting our harmony, our peace, that's taking us out of the zone, out of alignment, so that we know we have a framework, a model, a set of tools and practices, mindsets that we're developing that allow us to know, hey, this is uncomfortable. Oops, sorry. This is uncomfortable. Let me sit in my shit for a little bit, but learn to process it. Become more aware of how I typically handle these situations, but also learn that through practice, I have access to other ways of handling this, right? Triple threat. I have other options to navigate the circumstance. And so I'm really excited about some of the ways that I'm looking to kind of bring that learning to life. I've done the book, I've taught in the classrooms and in siloed spaces. I think my work right now is about, how do I bring this to community? And taking from the different approaches that I use to within my classroom settings, how can I replicate that, but erect it in a way where I don't have to be there all the time to teach it, but you can immerse yourself mm-hmm. in this process and experience it on your own. And so, yeah, I know we've kind of talked a little bit about what that looks like specifically, but a lot of my interest right now in facilitating that, it sits at the intersection of technology, of art, of immersive experience in entertainment.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
So as we near the end,
yeah,
is there anything you feel like you would like to ask either of us or that we may have missed that you would like to touch upon as it relates to you?
I always like to leave people with seeds, right? Little seeds that they can plant in their lives, and try to apply and see, again, what works for them. So I would love for you all to share, maybe, since we've been talking about basketball, your top five practices, processes, tools, or techniques that allow you to return back home to harmony.
You want to start?
Top five?
Yeah.
If you got them.
Top okay. five.
Five's a lot. Although, you know, when you boil it down to... I mean,
I'll start. To make it easier, maybe give you... So writing for me is one. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Movement. I call it movement, not dance, because I don't know exactly if what I do is dancing. I'm on beat. I can't.
Can we be the judge of it?
Okay, of my,
I'm
of
not going to be the judge of anybody dancing. I'm not going to be the judge of anybody.
No, we can't. No?
Nope.
I just won't be on TikTok. How about that? You will not see me on TikTok. So writing, movement, and music. I love fragrances, like that's another, like whether it's essential oils or perfumes, candles, I love that. nature, as I mentioned, which is why Phoenix has been a huge blessing in my life, just being here in Arizona, I should say, Arizona. And then, of course, family, loved ones, quality ties, social connections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in that context.
Or any context.
Yeah, I think for me, certainly, I found out something about myself last week. I was in New York, and I had a little time in the afternoon, and I walked over to Chelsea Market, and I was like, you know, I've been waiting for this time to be able to, like, just walk around the city and just take it in and enjoy. And, you know, I looked around about an hour later, and I went, okay, it's 1 o'clock. What am I going to do now? You know, I kind of realized I just, you know, it's not my nature just to do nothing, right? Mm-hmm, so, movement you talked about, I try to stay really active. I swim. I'm in a really weird stage because I'm not able to run right now because of a bad back. But I train with I work out with a trainer.
Do we need to postpone our game?
Oh my God. Jeez, okay. That was a setup. You really asked that man five things that are important to him just so you can go.
I'll
call to the court if I have to. Trust me. I'll call to the court. We're not worried about it back.
No,
you went all the way there. Had you start?
I know.
I went to
five. I know.
Oh my God.
See what we're dealing with. Yeah. I'll start over again.
Okay.
Movement.
You were rudely interrupted.
Movement being one. I find I really need like the stimulation you know, conversation, dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
This is why this format of a podcast was so appealing to me when DJ and I first started talking about it. I get energy from it.
Yeah.
And I get energy from being around people, like-minded people like this, and we can have this rich conversation around a dinner table, glass of wine, whatever you want to call it. I'm not a big fan of big groups either, so I'm really about intimate settings.
Same.
And then I guess third is, you know, having the ability to be in deep thought. I consider that to be part of my practice of meditation for myself. It allows me to be in deep thought and to think about things and contemplate and create intention. So I think that's really important for me. And then I don't make as much time for this as I like. I love to read. My mother was a librarian. I sat in a library for many, many years as a child during the summer months.
Yeah.
And so reading, you know, I love this environment of being around books.
Yeah.
It's just... there's always something in them that can give you a sense of learning and growing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just sheer entertainment.
Yeah.
Right? You know, just to sort of take something in and be taken somewhere else in someone else's world and someone else's sort of storytelling.
Yeah. Can I say something about that?
Absolutely.
What was it? Like late November last year, I went to Stinkweed's Records vinyl store on Camelback, kind of in Uptown, and I was so overwhelmed walking in. It just took me back to, do you remember walking into the and just spending hours and hours hours?
Mm-hmm. It was Tower Records for us.
Tower Records,
crazy. Absolutely. It was so nostalgic, just in the posters of all the different artists. So your library is my tower, I guess you can say. Like
That's cool. And I guess the last thing I could throw in is I really love music.
Yes.
I enjoy music. It's good for the soul. And you know, it just depends on the mood I'm in is what I'm listening to.
Yeah.
You know? But it can really motivate, inspire.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just take you back to a place of real comfort.
Yeah. And helps you sometimes to articulate your own thoughts and stories and experiences in a way that you couldn't.
No question.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, quickly, I think the more I look back, just from a retrospective point of view, athletics was extremely important for me, but music was probably just as important for me growing up. And it still is today. So Charles knows, I DJ, so I mix music and have all this equipment and do. That's very therapeutic for me.
Mm-hmm.
anywhere from house music to rap, soft rock, I mean, mix it all. I do love consuming and reading, but I do it for the purpose of creation of my own content and frameworks. And that was something that became really important to me in the doctoral program and creating frameworks for success and frameworks. For, it's very important to me, backed by science. So science is really important to me as well. Physical fitness, huge for me. You know, I think the other one that I'm really coming to realize is food. And I don't need a lot of food anymore these days, but good quality food and cuisine is such an experience. Because I'm not a party dude. That's my party.
Yeah.
Like sitting down with a good couple good people. Some music and some really good food. That feeds my soul. So, and then obviously the people who I care about. That's, you know, for me, really important as well. So those things for me.
Love it.
This has been great. Even though, you know, you disparage me in every way possible around the game of basketball. That's okay. We're learning. We're learning. But, no, it's been great having you on. It's good to see you again. And thank you for having you. Thank you for having you, DJ. Thank you for joining us on The Conscious Vibe.
Thank you for joining us.
And check us out on tcvpodcast.com.